Jordan Dance!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Two big questions to start the offseason. One, when will the lawsuits be settled? And two, when will NASCAR announce the playoff system for next year, if it's a playoff system at all? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Pete and Chris here, and we may dabble in the lawsuit later
okay,
on.
All right.
We don't want to spend too much time on that because none of us understand what's going on. But let's talk about, and I know, Pete, you said you've been talking about it on the morning drive on Sirius. This whole playoff system, first of all, let's establish where everybody stands. Pete, are you for continuing some kind of playoff system?
Absolutely. I am not a 36 race guy. I feel like that's going backward. And I know that a lot of listeners, a lot of fans want to do that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think there's enough things in a playoff format, guys, that make it worthwhile to continue doing some sort of format. Now, I certainly recognize there are ways to make it even better. That's where I am right now. And I'm hoping they find a way to kind of thread the needle through both those things. I know a lot of the fans want more consistency. I would agree with that. But I also don't think you should take away how important winning a race is. I think that needs to be there. But I think at the end of the day, probably the one thing that most people all agree on, guys, I don't know how you feel, is the one race winner take all deciding everything. I think if you can somehow kind of meld these things together and maybe get away from that, to me, that would be whatever NASCAR comes up with the best possible end result of these discussions we've been having literally since what? The beginning of June of this year, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm so mixed and so torn on this. Like, just keep going back and forth, back and forth. I'm like Pete, though. I agree. I like the playoffs that we currently have, but I also agree with Pete that there's got to be a happy medium that we can find, right? Something that rewards consistency, but also rewards winners, right? And I think that that's important. And maybe it remains 16 drivers. I know a lot of people don't necessarily care for the one race format, one race winner take all for the championship. It reminds me of the Super Bowl, in my opinion. I know that the circumstances are different, but it reminds me of the Super Bowl. So I personally don't have a lot of problem with it. Not do I agree that the driver that has crowned the champion should be the champion? Not always, but that's what happens in sports. It's not always about the best team or the best driver winning because circumstances happen.
You know, I was thinking, Pete, and how one line changes, how this format could change one line. Think about it this way. Okay, with the one race championship, Kyle Larson finishes third and wins the championship. And think about how that race is like, wow, Kyle Larson, he finished third and beat Hamlin and won the championship. Now, think about if we go to an average finish, say the four race average, where all Kyle Larson had to do was finish third and win the championship. And now all of a sudden you've gone from, wow, he beat Hamlin to win the championship, to, well, he did all he had to do. He finished third and won the championship.
It
completely changes the way the storyline reads.
Well, it kind of goes back to how we had it back in the 36 points race format, where a lot of drivers, all they had to do was finish 30th, for crying out loud. There was a year where Jimmy Johnson, I think, had to finish 24th when we were at Homestead, and he would lock up the championship. We just had two ARCA championships this year locked up just by the guy practicing, because that's how their points are. Porter being Queen and Huddleston on the west side of things. So I hear you. And here's another thing. I always have like a little litmus test for me, guys. I have like a lot of family and friends who they know what I do, so they kind of know NASCAR, but they don't follow it. When I'm with them and we watch the championship race, and that's what I did this year, and all I have to tell them is, see, there's four guys here in the championship. All the one guy has to do is finish ahead of the other three. They're like, I got it. Understood. And then they watch it that way. There's no math involved. And I think there's something to be said about that. Right? I think you're right.
Yeah, it's so easy, right? It's just – and it's no different than, like, the Super Bowl. I go back to Super Bowl again, but whoever has the most points wins the game and wins the Super Bowl. So I know that whatever – format is announced, it's not going to make everybody happy, and we're never going to be able to please everybody. But I'm with Pete. I do not want to go back to 1994, 1995, where we're getting a champion is decided at race 30, right? What I understand, like, I understand and I respect their opinions, but I just don't think we're in that era today, in today's world, where we need to be signing the champion, you know, at race 30 instead of race 36.
Well, I know one of the things we've heard from the people through, I know Jeff Gluck mentioned this, talking to people who are on the commission or the council or whatever they call themselves, who are helping make this decision, was that they feel like having this playoff format has taken away from the guys running at the top of the field and that we're not getting rivalries. But think about this, and I brought this up last week, Pete, and I love Ross Chastain, but Ross Chastain would not be the star he is today if it weren't for this championship format. If he weren't for the championship format, he doesn't do the Hail Melon at Martinsville because he doesn't have to. That wasn't to win the race. That was to stay alive in the championship.
I think if you take a playoff format out, you're going to get a lot more of that taken away. The last race of now the regular season at Daytona is just going to be race number 26, right? I mean, a lot of folks love Daytona, but we would lose all of that. Who's going to make it to the playoffs? The third race of the first round at Bristol would lose some of that luster. The third race, which is now the Roval, would lose some of that luster. And, of course, what you just said, Brett, at Martinsville, what Chastain did. I don't want to lose those moments. And for whatever reason in this discussion right now, the word storyline has become like a bad word for people, which I don't get. I mean, sports is supposed to generate drama, excitement, competition, and storylines. Things for Chris to write about at catchfence.com. Things for us to talk about on the morning drive. Things for you guys to talk about on the PRN broadcast. I don't see what's wrong with that. Yeah. And I feel like this current system provides all those things. And I just don't understand why now that's a bad thing.
What I'm worried about, and maybe you guys can chime in, what I'm worried about is that we change it, right? And the people that are the loudest right now, right? They get the new format. They don't like the new format, and they're screaming like, we need to bring back the old format. Because I'm sorry, I've heard that before, where people want to undo what they said that they want to change, right? We've heard that. And Pete, I've heard it several times on Sirius XM. That's what I'm worried about. Like, be careful what you wish for. Is that fair?
Pete, go ahead.
Absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. And then listen, the other part of this is, and obviously we at Sirius XM on our show and our channel, that's one voice. Social media is another voice, but I don't know if that's the voice you should be listening to. There's a lot of collective voices here. But Chris, you're right. I mean, a lot of the things we have today is because of fans not wanting it before. Not to change subjects, but this whole idea about let's let the Cup guys run more in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. When I first started at Sirius like 15 years ago, that was like the bane of our existence. Get these guys out of here. We don't want to see that. Now they want them back in. So it's just another example where I get it. I mean, I'm a fan of other sports. It's cyclical, but I don't know. Sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for, Chris. I think you're right about that.
I think less is more, right? Less is more, yeah. Especially in an era or at a time in our sport where I think we're trying to generate and crave new fans to come in, and new, not only new fans, but new partners and perhaps new manufacturers, new drivers. Like, I just think that you want something compelling for them to get them excited about, and I'm just not crazy about if we go back to rewarding completely consistency. Like, I want a mixture of both, and I'm like, you know, you reward, you know, if we go back where we have four, like, this is hypothetical, right? If we go back to a championship four race, right, you have two drivers in there that have won the most races, and you have two drivers in there that have been the most consistent throughout the season and in the playoffs, I would be totally fine with that. But I just, you're not going to make everybody happy. And right now, I think the people that are screaming the loudest are, you know, screaming really loud.
Well, and I think one of the biggest arguments I've had from people, Pete, and I get you to talk about this, is that, well, back in the 80s and 90s, it was just great. And why do we need to change the way we do that? And my argument is because we've changed. Our attention span is minuscule as a society based on the way it was. We can't continue to do what we did and back in the 80s and 90s and expect the same reaction. You know, hockey now has overtime, has a 5-minute overtime and a shootout because people don't want to see ties anymore. You know, baseball now has the ghost runner in the 10th inning. And, you know, think about in the playoffs when they went 17 innings in the American League Championship Series. And people are going, where's the ghost runner? This thing should have been over a long time ago. we have changed. You can't sit there and tell me the way it was in the 80s and 90s will work today, because it won't, because we are different.
Completely agree. And I say it a lot, and I say it with respect. Again, nostalgia is a heck of a drug. We all remember how things were, probably a little differently because of time. But you're right, Brett. And that is another, I mean, be frank, it's a challenge that NASCAR has. There is a core fan base that really and truly refuses to let go of the past and doesn't like to look to the future. And you're dealing with that. And you shouldn't dismiss them. So I'm not saying you should. So again, as I said earlier, how do you find the line to kind of thread the needle between the two? This is different than it is, than it was 30 years ago. You know, and then the last point is, you're trying to bring in new people, and these current fans are great, but they're not going to be here forever. Yeah. How do you attract a younger crowd, a newer crowd? And I think that's a tough part of it right now, when it's a little more convoluted to explain how you're going to crown a champion. And listen, if you just say you're going to add them all up and at the end of the year, the guy's got the most points is the champion, that's kind of boring, I think, in 2025 and beyond. And I just don't think that goes right now in professional sports. A sport as big as this one, as NASCAR is.
I just think you reward both, right? And I think, and when I talk about putting two drivers in there that are based on consistency, you tally those points all the way from the regular season to through the playoffs, right? And so you have a driver that's been consistent throughout the whole season, and it gives those other teams value to work for, right? It gives those other teams. I mean, I know that we've done it. You know, we're not all of everybody's won to get into the next round, but this is tallying up a season's long worth of effort, not necessarily a specific round.
So a lot of questions now about Denny Hamlin. You know, he was really down, and understandably so, after the championship race. We haven't heard much from him since then, after the championship banquet. So see what these guys think about where Denny Hamlin is going to land when he's had a chance to sit down and reflect. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. All the Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. And, you know, Chris, you were talking earlier off there about the atmosphere Sunday in Phoenix with Denny Hamlin not being so close to his first championship, having a dominant car, and just said it was just this kind of pall that was over the entire ceremony, and it kind of hung in there through the
night
awards.
Well, yeah,
on Tuesday.
Yeah, just through it. I hate to say it like this, but this is the honest truth. It felt like somebody died, right? Just that was the atmosphere when you left the track. It was so somber, and so I think people were in disbelief about what had happened. But as I was mentioning to you during the commercial break, I can't be hypocritical, right? And I say, well, was I shocked that Denny Hamlin didn't win the championship? Absolutely. But I can't be mad about it, right? Because I preached that I love this format and the best guy has to win. Kyle Larson did nothing wrong. So while I hate it for Denny and I hate it for Joe Gibbs Racing and I hate for the circumstances, I can't be hypocritical and say this is wrong because that's not what I've been preaching for so long. Denny and their team, they make a wrong choice. But I think Kyle Larson summed that up best in the media center. That's racing.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Our friend Jeff Gluck pointed out, Pete, that Denny had been one of the guys who had been one of the biggest advocates for the softer tires that Goodyear brought, which were giving up a lot. It was that softer tire that gave up a William Byron, which brought out the caution, which then led to the decision to take four tires instead of two, which ultimately cost Denny the race.
And that's exactly the story. The format did not cost Denny Hamlin the championship. I get the disappointment. I get the somber feeling that Chris talked about. I get all of that, especially with what's going on with Denny and his personal life. Understand it. But guys, in an odd way, that also kind of drives home what we were talking about earlier about storylines and sports and drama and those kinds of things, right? I know it's cliche, but the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, it was on display there at the end. And the decision to go for four tires was, unfortunately for them, the wrong decision. And it cost them the opportunity to finish ahead of Kyle Larson and win the championship. So I get it. I understand the disappointment. I felt terrible for Denny, but there's no injustice here. Kyle Larson did everything exactly what they needed to do to win the championship, and he is a two-time champion because of it now.
And, Pete, we saw the same thing on Saturday for the Xfinity Series finale. Junior Motorsports had 75% chance of winning that championship four race, and Jesse Love, who was absolutely miserable and awful at the beginning of this race, they worked hard to make sure that that car was the best at the end. And you know what? People were really upset because Connor Zilich had come out and had this fantastic season. And I'm not discounting anything that Connor Zilich did. What he did was remarkable this season. But Jesse Love did what he had to do. And he may not have been the favorable guy going into it. He's probably the sleeper, right? That's how he was on Thursday. He was noted as a sleeper. But what he did on Saturday was, in a sense, no different than what Kyle Larson and Cliff Daniels did on Sunday.
Well, Denny, actually, William Byron almost came in and apologized to Denny.
He did apologize.
Yeah, he did, in the post-race press conference. And now Denny obviously said, I'm going to need some time away to really think over everything. The last thing I want to do right now is get in a race car. I think Denny probably the happiest guy that the award ceremony was 2 days later in Phoenix instead of 2 weeks later someplace else, Pete. Any reason to believe, in your mind, that Denny doesn't end up back in the race car next year?
No, not at all. And I understand some of the things that he said. I think some people, unfortunately, took that the wrong way. Is he going to do a Carl Edwards and all that? No, he will be back next year. He's got a 2-year contract. And I know the contracts, are sometimes not worth the paper they're written on and all that. But I believe he will be back. I think he will run out his 2-year contract there at Joe Gibbs Racing, and he'll try it again next year in whatever format we have to try to win that elusive championship. I totally understand how he felt then. How could you think about, well, I'll get back in the car, next week after what happened. But I do believe he will be back. I still believe that he's got some years ahead of him where he's going to win races. And here's the other thing. Denny talks about the championship, and we get it. But he's also talked about a little more finite things about more wins. He's got 60 now. He's going to have maybe 2 years left. He wants to put more wins on the board, more crown jewels. So there's a lot of reasons for Denny Hamlin to come back, and I fully expect him to be in the car when we get to Daytona next February.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, he was still caught up in that moment, I think, when they had the press conference with the championship four drivers on Tuesday, right? And it's going to take some time. Like, just like when something terrible happens or something that you have been working so hard doesn't pan out like you happen to, you just don't get over it overnight. It takes time. And I think I agree with you. I think the banquet being 2 days after the finale was definitely helpful, but I think Denny will take the time. He's smart. He's resourceful. He'll take the time. He'll mentally reset, and he'll be ready to go once we get to Daytona. And I just think he's still caught up in the moment, and sometimes, you know, it's hot off the collar. I mean, he's still hot off the collar and probably speaking more on emotion than more on emotion, I think.
Well, before Denny gets to getting back in the car again, Pete, he's going to have something else to deal with, and that's the lawsuit that 2311, the team he co-owns with Michael Jordan, and Front Row are still tied up with this lawsuit with NASCAR. A lot of us, and I think you're probably part of this group, have believed that this will settle before it ever gets to court on December 1st. NASCAR took another loss last week when a judge said that one of the things they were arguing for, they actually contradicted themselves in one of their countersuits, so he threw that part out. Do you still believe this thing's going to get settled before we get to December 1st?
If you would have asked me that last week, Brad, I probably would have said yes, but as the closer we get to Thanksgiving and December 1st, now I'm not so sure. You know, and I've been pretty straightforward about this the times you've asked me to be on your show and on the morning drive, that I just don't think this is a good thing for the sport, guys. I've seen more stories since Kyle Larson won the championship about this than I have about Kyle Larson winning the championship. Yeah. And I've said it from day one, millionaires versus billionaires is not something fans are interested in. I don't care what the sport is. And I don't think it's a good thing for the sport. I have not taken a side on this because I don't know all the information. I feel like both sides have a kind of a case here. But how this goes and how this ends up, I don't feel like there's a winner or a loser here if it goes to trial. I really hope it gets decided before December 1st and the sport can move on from it, because I just don't think it's a very good thing for NASCAR right now.
Yeah. Pete, I don't know if you heard this, but Denny Hamlin had said at Phoenix Raceway that one of us is on a suicide mission, right?
Yes.
Either NASCAR or 2311's in Front Row Motorsports are on a suicide mission. The best holiday gift of all could be that they settle before this December 1st, because I feel like, in my opinion, and you guys can chime in, I feel like the sport's going to change. No matter what happens, the sport is going to change in some way, shape, or form forever. And that's not a good thing, in my opinion, because of this lawsuit.
Well, I know one of the things that we think we know is that what the teams would like is to have the charters be permanent. Like when you buy, when Pete buys the Chicago Cubs,
okay,
he owns the Cubs in perpetuity until he sells them to somebody else. Major League Baseball doesn't come back to him every 7 years and go, okay, you need to talk to us about re-upping with us if you want to keep owning the team. The teams, we know that the teams want, that's one of the key things I think they want is to have a charter that they own. If they own the charter, they own it forever. So we know that's one thing they would like to get out of it. I don't know what else. But to me, the real unanswered question is, if NASCAR loses this thing and if it goes to court, I have no idea what that means and what they lose, Pete.
Agreed. And that's the thing. I don't understand it, because I think it – and listen, let's just say NASCAR wins. Let's take the other side. Do you want 2311 to go out of business and Front Row Motorsports to go out of business? No, that's not a good thing. And to your point, Brett, if it goes the other way, I don't know what that means either. You know, I understand the teams want to know that these charters mean something kind of until they wind up selling them. You know, we hear numbers on the open market, $50 million. I heard $75 million from Adam Stern from Sports Business Journal on the morning drive the other day. So I don't know. And I understand why teams want to know that. But what NASCAR has done is coupled this to the media rights deal, because that's where so much money comes in. That's why they don't want to say at this point, you can have them forever. They don't know where they're going to be revenue-wise at the end of the seven-year deal that they've got right now that's bringing in billions of dollars. So there, I think, to me, is sort of the kind of the focal point of this. But I don't know, Brad. I don't know what it means on the other side to NASCAR. Would they have to sell tracks? Would they have to lay out people? I really and truly don't know what that means on the other side.
It's just not good all the way around, right? It's just not good all the way around. Do the charters that are – if NASCAR loses, do the current charters become null and void and we basically have to start all over again? Like, that could – how disastrous is that going to be for the current team owners, right? And you know, you got this stuff with Rick Hendrick and Joe Gibbs not wanting to be a part of the depositions and whatnot. Like, it's just not good, and it's clouding the headlines of the sport when there's other things going on in the sport that are getting overlooked, in my opinion, because of this lawsuit. And I just wish it would go. I wish it would go away. But the thing is, from NASCAR standpoint, I don't think they're willing to give lifelong, you know, charters, because NASCAR doesn't want to pay for that out of pocket if they don't get the money that they're looking for out of their next TV agreement. Is that right, Fair? Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they've said. I mean, Brian Herbst, who runs that part of the NASCAR world, has said, listen, we only know up until then. Now, the 2311 front row side is, well, you have other revenue streams. It's not just predicated on television and media rights. There are other revenue streams. That's why they want these books to be opened up and those kinds of things. And that's why I understand, if I am Rick Hendrick or I am Roger Penske or if I am Joe Gibbs, I'm like, I already signed this agreement.
Yeah.
This is between y'all. Don't drag me into this. So right. I sort of get that as well, that they don't want to be part of this deposition.
Hey, when we come back, if you're a Trackhouse fan, you're going to need a program to know the players because of their numbers. They've all changed. Well, not all of them, but they're certain. Stay with us.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency. Plus, cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row. And so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and also Chris Knight from CatchFence.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Well, they say you don't know the players without a program. That's just about the way it's going to start off next year, Pete, with Trackhouse Racing. You got Ross Chastain's going to stay in the number one. He's got a new crew chief, and that's going to be Brandon McSwain coming over from Hendrick. And then you got SVG's back, but he's going to have a new number. He's going from the 88 to the 97, which historically is a number he has driven and goes way back in his career. And if you see the video of him, very emotional about getting the 97. And then we know Connor Zilich is going to start over there, and he's coming over. He's going to get the 88, which he drove this year for Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity now O'Reilly series. Will you be as fast as O'Reilly Counter Service?
Is that our new tagline?
Who knows? And he's going to have Randall Burnett, who has been Kyle Busch's Cup crew chief, coming over as his crew chief. But it was cool watching how emotional Van Gisbergen got with that number change, because that number is so tied in with his history.
Yeah, that was really emotional. And, it's funny because some people what's a number? Doesn't mean anything. You know, even when we talk about putting the number on the race car, what's the difference? It's on the race. It means a lot to people. It's visceral. You know, it resonates. And to a driver like SVG, getting that number back, obviously, if you've seen the video, means a lot to him. So there was a lot of emotion tied to it. you know, in this day and age, and, you know, it is what it is. It's great that sponsors are there, but the number, I think, is more tied to a driver than ever because sponsors rotate around so much. So knowing that he's in the 97 makes a, you know, big deal to him. Trackhouse is really interesting to me, guys, because when they first came in, as we all know, Justin Marks, we're going to be the disruptors, right? We're going to do things differently. We're going to be headquartered in Nashville, maybe. We're going to try to do that. We've got Ross Chastain and, you know, the way he drives and all that. Now here where they are in 2026, Chastain's still there. They got obviously one of the most talented young drivers we've had in a very long time in Connor Cilic. And you got a guy who broke all the records on road courses last year, winning five races in SVG. It's going to be an interesting year, I think, for 2026 for Trackhouse Racing, top to bottom. I'm interested to see what they can do.
I think it's like Pete said, it's a big year, right? They have not been as potent, I think, as they want to be or some people expected them to be. Obviously, SVG coming out and doing what he done in road courses, people expected him to win. I don't think they expected him to win five races, but he did. Justin Marks being the entrepreneur and the business guy he is, reshuffling the deck as far as crew chiefs, I think is going to be to their advantage. And it's kind of crazy to say this, that Ross Chastain is going to be the veteran driver of that organization and working with a younger crew chief, like you pointed out, Brett. I don't think it's going to hinder that program. I think it's going to benefit that program. He's going to bring new ideas to that organization. And I think Trackhouse is going to be somebody that we're going to keep an eye on and see if they can get back to running in the top five consistently, because that's something that, unfortunately, on ovals, they failed to do in 2025.
What are the expectations going to be for Zilic next year, do you think, Pete? I mean, it's going to be easy to have them be monstrous based on what he did this year in the Xfinity Series, but I think it's easy for us to all look at that and over-expect.
For sure. I mean, you can't get caught up in that, Brett. We know, no disrespect to the Xfinity Series, but the talent level when you go and run with the Cup Series on a weekly basis is completely different. Now, you'll say this, he's had a couple of starts in the Cup Series and he held his own there for the most part. I would expect him on road courses to actually be a factor on the with the 88. I think you're going to see some time to kind of learn what he's going to be doing on the oval tracks. I think he's going to have a solid year, but I don't think you can ask him anywhere near to replicate what he just did in the Xfinity Series. You know, and on the SVG side, you know, to Chris's point, the oval track program, I feel like SVG did get better at the end of the year on oval tracks. I mean, he wasn't in the top five or anything, but I thought he did. Man, if he can find a balance between those two, we know he's going to – there's no reason to think he's not going to be the road course guy to beat again next year. Yeah. If he can get some top 15s, maybe a top 10 or two on the oval track side, I think that's a story to watch in 2026.
I think that it was healthy to see Trackhouse running better on ovals towards the end of the season because it gives them momentum during the offseason, right? I feel like they have some direction, and I think Randall Burnett coming over from RCR to Trackhouse, I think it's going to benefit them. I know that some people were kind of shocked that move happened, but I think pairing him with Connor is going to be fantastic, and I think the expectations for Connor need to be realistic. If Connor can come in and challenge to win races, I think that'd be awesome. But if he can find a pace that keeps him in the top 15 consistently every week, then I think he's going to find himself in a shot to potentially do some damage and find his way into whatever playoff format we're going to have. And obviously Ross, we know what Ross is capable of, right? And like Pete said, SVG, I'm looking forward to seeing what SVG can do, because if I don't think it's out of the realm if things improve over at Trackhouse, can SVG put himself in a position to win on ovals? I think if circumstances work, and don't forget, I think SVG has been extremely impressive on super speedways. For him to pick up that knack, he was like that in the Xfinity Series and in the Cup Series. SVG has always seemed to find his way at the front. He may not end there, but he's always seemed to find himself at the front.
Pete, does it surprise you to hear Trackhouse talk about feeling or making a deal to have the Memorial Day double for Zilic down the road?
It doesn't surprise me that it might happen. It surprised me a little bit that why would you be talking about that now? You know, in my opinion, first and foremost, let's get this kid from where he was to a full-time Cup ride. Let's not put any undue pressure, because you know as well as I do, guys, when the fans heard that, they're like, okay, let's do it. What's wrong with next year? I'm not surprised that he could be the next guy to do it. I think he's certainly talented enough. He's obviously been successful in other forms of motorsports as well. But I would say, generally speaking, you know, pump the brakes on that. Let's just let him kind of focus on what he's doing right now, running at the highest level of stock car racing, you know, in the world and seeing what he can do. And then we'll wind up in a little further down the road, see if he can do the double. I think he can do it. I think it would take some time, and I wouldn't really talk about that now. Let's worry about that a few years down the road.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Pete. Why don't need? He's already going to have enough pressure on him, right, in his first year as a Cup Series rookie. Why are you going to throw him into going and competing in one of the most prestigious races in the world, Indianapolis 500? Let him get 2 or 3 years down the road, and then if the opportunities and the stars align, go ahead and put Connor Zilich in an opportunity to run the Indianapolis 500, but not right now.
Hey, when we come back, who faces the biggest challenge to get back on track when we start 2026?
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Mark Garrow's your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Chris Knight from CatchVince.com, Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Chris, who's got the biggest hill to climb to try to get back on track in 2026?
Well, there's two organizations that are top of my list, and I'm curious to see what Pete has. But RCR is at the top of my list, and Spire Motorsports is at the top of my list. And both for very different reason. RCR needs an injection to put that team back at the front. I know Austin Dillon won a race, but it was Richmond, and a place that he's very good at. Kyle Busch, we expected to see Kyle Busch be back in victory lane this year. It didn't happen. We expected him to be competitive. He was at very minimal times, and Austin Dillon overall didn't have the performance, so to speak, that we come to accustomed to. So hopefully the infusion of new personnel going into RCR will put that team back on the map in some capacity in 2026. And the other team is Spire Motorsports. There is so much money being invested and pumped into Spire Motorsports. They have the speed. The speed is not the problem. It's closing the deal. And if they can close the deal, and I'm very anxious to see what Daniel Suarez can do for that organization, if they can finish races and just finish races and win races, then I think everybody will start seeing the benefit of what Spire Motorsports set out to do.
Why do you think RCR has been so good in the Xfinity Series, but has struggled so much in Cup?
I think it's the car. I honestly think it's the car. You know, the Xfinity car hasn't changed very much over the last several years, but I think it's overall the car. And I think, you know, Kyle admitted it down at Phoenix. This car has been tougher for him to drive, right? So he's you have to go back. Even Austin Dillon, even though he won at Richmond and is a factor at places like Richmond, their driving styles have had to go through different changes and styles and whatnot. So I think it's just a combination of things, and I feel like that they felt like that they caught up on some things, but then they just fell further behind on some other things.
All right, Pete, who are you looking at?
Well, Chris, you're in Charlotte. I'm in Chicago. Somehow you looked at my notes because those are the same two organizations I have as well. The Richard Childress Racing part of this is interesting to me, guys, because to Chris's point, when this race car first came online and RCR was a big proponent and part of the creation of the next gen car, they were actually pretty good. Kyle Busch won three races his first year there, right? And that's the hard part of this. What happened to that to where they are now that they struggle so much? And again, yes, Austin Dillon has won races, but obviously they don't have the consistency there. So I don't know. I mean, obviously they made a crew chief's change. We'll see what Jim Pullman does when he moves over to work with Kyle Busch. But I do think it's the race car there. I would also maybe draw a dotted line over there to Colleague Racing. Well, Colleague Racing and RCR used to have the one welcome thing. They are not going to be together anymore. They're kind of on their own, Colleague Racing, with the truck program they're doing with Ram. That's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they did not have a good year on the Cup side with A.J. Allmendinger and Ty Dillon, unfortunately. And then back to Spire. I agree. I mean, there was such high hopes. Boy, when we used to ask our listeners on the morning drive about what team do you thought could really have a breakout year, like 2 years in a row, they said Spire Motorsports, because on paper it looked like they should have that. They haven't. So I agree. I think it's time for them to really make a step forward here, get better than where they had been, and, you know, stop going through all the constant changes that seem like that's been happening to that race team for the last couple of years.
If Spire Motorsports can have that speed that they have at the beginning of the races and have them at the end of the races, I think we'd be talking about Spire Motorsports in a completely different light. Carson Hocevar, we know, is not afraid to get up on the wheel. His actions have sometimes been questionable, but I feel like Michael McDowell did not have the season that I was expecting him to. I think he showed some flashes of light, but I just feel like as much hype has been pumped into Spire Motorsports and as much investment is being pumped into that program, they just have yet to put out the results that we expected to see. And honestly, I think people were surprised. Some were surprised that Justin Haley didn't have a better season and others weren't. So that's why I say Daniel Suarez, is this going to rejuvenate his Cup Series career? And that remains to be seen as well.
Pete, you mentioned Ram coming into the Truck Series. Obviously, you're going to have colleagues, going to have five Ram trucks. What kind of expectations are we going to have for that organization this year? I mean, I think they realized they were taking a lot on when they decided to put their Xfinity Series, or now O'Reilly Series team, on hold. They're going to continue to have their Cup Series teams. But what kind of expectations do you have for them to have success with Ram at least this year?
Yeah, you know, based on all of our experience covering the sport, when a new manufacturer comes in, it's tough. I mean, right out of the box, they have really high expectations. And, you know, you brought it up, Brett. I mean, they took their Xfinity Series program, and Chris Rice, the CEO, told us last week that they're going to just pause it. That tells me there's no doubt. I mean, at some point, Ram is going to be in the Truck Series. They plan on coming to the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series at some point. But I think it's going to be really hard for them to juggle, because there are going to be high expectations on the truck side. They still have a Chevrolet program on the Cup side, so that's kind of interesting, that dynamic between the two. It's interesting because, again, the way they're going about this, and they're going to have this kind of, quote, gong show and get a new driver through that and have some young drivers earn their way in. We know Butterbean Queen's going to be part of that program. Daniel Dye's going to be part of that program. So I think the expectation shouldn't be very high, but I think because of who it is and how they're going about it, it probably will be when you take on five trucks. I know Tricon Garage has got five trucks. That's a big undertaking there when they first came on. They're the champions. I think the college is going to have a pretty steep hill to climb, I think, in 2026 with that new program.
I agree 100%. And, you know, the worst thing that could happen is they go to Daytona and one of their trucks or a number of trucks fail to qualify, because they're not learning anything. I think the biggest takeaway that I had, I was at the announcement at Daytona International Speedway in August, and I would love to have your guys' opinion on this, because I spoke with about my other colleagues. When Toyota branched off into the Truck Series and came into the Truck Series, they had several different teams. They had three or four different teams. Colleague has five trucks under one banner. If four out of the five trucks are struggling, they can't go outside their nest or they can't go outside their zone and get ideas or get data or feedback from the other other teams like Toyota could to find out what was doing to make the program better. And I just was so baffled, and I'm still baffled, that Ram decided to have five trucks with one team, because if it's so hard, if one team is struggling, then the potential is there for all five teams to struggle.
I don't know, Pete, do you think this is just a 1 year, the five trucks to get started, and then they come back and maybe add two more or something with a different organization the next year?
I think it would be smart if they did. I mean, I think Chris makes an excellent point. Plus, you're also asking a team to really, they had zero infrastructure for a truck team, none. They're basically building it from the ground up. So yes, all your eggs are in one basket. Toyota did a good job, I thought, of going across the board and get multiple teams. But this is, you know, I also think it's a different world than right now, based on what they tell us and how they want to do this and the marketing of it. They want a lot more sizzle. I'm not saying that they're giving up the competitive side, but there's going to be a kind of a different approach here. But you have to wonder after year one, when Colley kind of gets their feet under them, if they do expand to another truck team and kind of go from there. But make no mistake, I mean, and this is good news, there's another manufacturer in NASCAR. It's in the truck series right now. That's great.
Yes.
At some point, I believe it's going to be in the Xfinity series and the Cup series as well.
Well, and I know that we've gone to several races where we were short on trucks, but now you're adding five new teams to that, which is definitely going to take it over the 36 truck threshold. And I've heard, and I don't know, you know, I'm sure Pete's heard the same thing, there's other teams and other drivers that are considering being a part of the truck series in 2026. So there's the real potential, at least for the first three races, that if they have issues with those trucks, that they could go home because they don't have owner's points unless they decide to come out and buy five owner's points. But I just don't see how that's realistic right now, because everybody goes to Daytona and they want to have a shot, especially if we get weather that comes in. So I think Colleague and Ram will be huge storylines in 2026 for the truck series, and some of it will be hopefully be good, but some of it could be bad, but that's just part of storylines.
Start making sacrifices to Mother Nature right now. Mother Nature. Send her some, I can't believe it's not butter.
Well, we saw it with Toyota. We saw it with Toyota when they came in. They had cars go home in their first race.
Yep.
That's right.
Exactly. When we come back, I get these guys to give us some superlatives from this past year. Stay with us.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of the 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Chris Knight's here and Pete Pistone's here. Glad to have you with us. Last week we asked in our Pit Reporters poll who the fans thought the driver of the year in NASCAR was. And this is interesting. 27%, there was a tie. 27% said Kyle Larson and 27% said Connor Zilich. Wow. 24% said Denny Hamlin and 21% said Corey Heim. It was that close. So, Chris, who was your driver of the year in NASCAR last year?
Across all of the board? Across the whole board?
Yeah, in NASCAR. God.
I'd say it's by a slim margin, but it's Connor Zilich. Just after everything he went through, getting hurt twice, getting hurt twice, and then just, I mean, the record that he set, I think, was the 22 top five finishes in a row.
Top five in a row, yes.
I don't have the number right in front of me, but it just a stat that I think is going to hold its own for a very long time. And so I think what Connor Zilich, I expected him to come out and be competitive and do great things, but I had no idea he was going to do what he did. And unfortunately, he may have been the best driver in the Xfinity Series, but he didn't win the championship. But that's just racing.
Yeah, that's it. Pete, I think it's the first time we've ever included an Xfinity driver and a truck driver in our season-ending Driver of the Year poll. But I think those two guys deserve to be included at least. Who's your Driver of the Year?
I mean, first of all, I think it's fascinating that it's that close across the board, Brett, to your point. But I would say Corey Heim. I mean, when you set records like he has and won as many races and obliterated the Greg Biffle record of 9-1 year like he did and won the championship, finally the cherry on the Sunday. And I know we always can play, what might have been, but think of all the races that Corey Heim could have also won, the ones that got away from him this year.
At least
leading
five.
A lap in every race. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing to watch him. And, I didn't really think the differentiation between Heim and everybody else in the truck series. I thought there was still a lot of competitive truck racing this year, to be honest with you guys. So the fact that he did that, and whenever you set a record in my book, I don't care the sport, this one for sure, to me, that's got to look back as the best effort of the season. And I thought that when you put those guys up there, Corey Heim, for me, was the driver of the year in NASCAR across the board.
I can't argue with him.
Yeah. What do you think the best race was last year, Chris?
That's hard. I can't. There was some really good racing. I know a lot of people probably won't agree with me, but I enjoyed Bristol in the fall. I thought that was, it was so compelling and I thought Kansas was a good race. I thought between Bubba and Denny and Chase Elliott, I thought Kansas is so interesting because I remember when drivers dreaded going to Kansas, and now it has produced some of the best racing in NASCAR. And so if I had to pick a race, I'd say Kansas Speedway in the fall.
How about you, Pete?
I would say, and I know the circumstances were weird, but the spring race at Bristol to me was probably one of the best races of the season. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was really compelling, and I thought that was an interesting race and a fun race. I like Kansas in the fall. I think that's a good one. But I think the Phoenix finale was also a pretty good race. For everything that we've talked about with the hand-wringing and everything about the format and all of that, when you think about it, top to bottom, you had everything there. You had the drama and the storyline, but I thought you also had some really good racing. And quite frankly, guys, when you look at this season for me and I go in the rearview mirror, we had a stretch in the summertime. Maybe some of the races weren't the best. But it felt to me like by the time we got into early August and through the regular season and the playoffs, I think the racing got a lot better. And I think the racing got a lot better on short tracks. I think the racing got a lot better in general. So I kind of remember the stretcher, maybe the final 10, 11, 12 races were pretty much almost every week. It was a pretty good race, and some were better than others. That's the sport that we're in right now. But there were some really good racing, I thought, some really good racing down the stretcher in the NASCAR Cup Series.
I thought the Super Speedway racing, Pete, was better this year, too.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know the fuel-saving thing gets the fans all kind of worked up, but it's funny how those cautions played out where it wasn't quite as pronounced at Daytona for the regular season finale and even at Talladega. Yeah. So I do agree with you on that, Chris, as well. I thought some of that Super Speedway racing, it was a little bit back to how I know a lot of our listeners and fans like. Yeah. And I thought the last two, Daytona and Talladega, were really good.
I thought so, too. Right.
When we come back, white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars. And I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV.
Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is he going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's Pete Pistone.
You know, we're going to look back on this season like we look back on all seasons when it's over. And I think a lot of the kind of reflection is going to be a lot of the discussion was not about what was on the racetrack. It's going to be about the lawsuit between 2311 and Front Row Motorsports and NASCAR. It's going to be about what NASCAR is going to do with the playoff format and all that. But I don't think we should lose that. I thought there was some pretty good racing this year. I thought there were some really good stories this year. I thought we had lots of sellout crowds. We had infield camping sold out. So I think for a lot of folks that sort of feel like the sky is falling around NASCAR sometimes, I don't see it that way. I thought we had a really good year. And I think the sport is poised beyond some of these challenges to have a really good 2026 as well.
I like it. I agree with you.
I agree.
Next up from catchfence.com, it's Chris Knight.
Just wanted, during the break, we were able to confirm it was 18 consecutive top fives in a row for Connor Zell, which was just amazing. So 18 top fives. I don't know if that record will be beaten. But mine's real quick. I just wanted to give a shout out to Xfinity and thank Xfinity for what they've done, especially for the Xfinity series. I'm going to miss that my car was as fast as Xfinity Mobile, but hopefully O'Reilly
Auto
Parts.
You could be the only one.
Yeah, hopefully O'Reilly Auto Parts will come in with a great incentive for the drivers and the teams. But Xfinity has been a great partner, not only to the series as a whole, but to the fans and the media. I'm thankful that they're staying on as a premier partner, but it's going to be a shame to see them go, and hopefully O'Reilly has some great things in store for us.
That sounds good. Yeah, I think back to the storylines that we're going to remember, and Pete touched on this just a little bit when we think back to what the year was in 2025. And I think, unfortunately, one of the overriding themes is going to be this lawsuit, which is kind of hung over the sport like a black cloud all year long. But I also think one of the interesting things that we may not think about when we look back on this year is what Goodyear's been able to do with this softer tire. There's been a lot of criticism about what's happened on the short tracks and the short track racing. But as this year's gone on, Goodyear's shown this ability to develop this softer tire that the drivers have been screaming for years, is the ability to put the race back in the driver's hands, for the driver to be able to control tire wear. And that has made a huge difference, I think, in a lot of these races we've seen down the stretch this year. I think it's made a big difference. We saw it, well, it actually made a big difference that we talked about earlier in Phoenix. It actually maybe helped determine the champion when William Byron's tire went. But these guys have wanted this. This is what the drivers have been asking for. The ability to have the race in their hands, tire management is important to these guys, And it has made a difference. And I think it's made the racing a lot more exciting. We've seen a lot more comers and goers. And this is something that I hope we are able to see more of in 2026 as the racing continues. Pete, Chris, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.